Well, good evening, you guys. Glad to hear see you tonight. We're going to be in a few places in the Bible tonight. 1 Corinthians 12, though, would be the base text for where we'll be. So if you have a Bible, that's where you'll want to be, is 1 Corinthians 12. We'll be in the 12th verse of that. So if you were here before service, you saw a little slideshow playing up there on the screen. That slideshow, so I think Kelly was the one that said, am I supposed to know anybody on these pictures? Don, could you, there should be a couple pictures up there. I think there's actually the pictures at the very bottom of the list there. You may know some. Well, yes. Okay, yes. You know that guy. That's right. 10 years younger. Keep going. I still have that shirt, I think. Oh, see that right there? That's our oldest daughter right there. That's Jaya. Right. 10 years goes by pretty fast. Yeah, that's a family. Same shirt. Man, did I wear the same shirt every day of camp? Wow. Amazing. There's Jay, that's right, little Boo. And, what else we got going on here? Kites, and, I think I still own that shirt and those shorts, still, to this day. Wow, the amazing things that you notice. This was up in, Big Bear, or Lake Arrowhead area up there, in California. Twin Peaks, excuse me, in California. So we were up in the pines up there above the smog layer. This was a family camp that we did in 2004 with Calvary Chapel of Prescott. Not a youth camp, not a kids camp. That's Pastor Dale. Pause on that picture, Don. It's going to want to change on that one. So here's the thing. That's Pastor Dale. That's me. That's me as the banana. That's right. This was a skit on the fruits of the Spirit. And I was the sheriff, I was the banana, and he was my deputy. So that's Pastor Dale. He's an assistant pastor at a Calvary up in Bozeman, Montana. Let's see, what other pictures do we have going on here? Yeah, so family camp. And Don, keep clicking on this picture just to keep it from rotating. Again, these kids here, I want you to look at this picture right here. And there's a girl, let's see. My friend Tim came from Arizona about a month ago with his family, and they sat over there, and there was quite a few of them. Their oldest daughter is actually not this girl in the pink, but the one right above her there. 10 years go by, and before you know it, wow, graduated from high school and headed off into the world. Is there any other ones as well, Don? Family camp as well. I don't remember how many went. I want to say maybe something along the order of, when you count all the people, let's go back to that last one. When you count all the people that were there, probably in the order of 205 people or so, something like that. And these are families. Sometimes it wasn't mom or dad because mom or dad weren't around or they were someplace else, weren't able to make it. So grandparents would take grandchildren for this week-long, Monday through Friday, family camp. And families would sit together, this table right here, as two families sitting together, a grandmother, a grandfather, and they had their kids from out of town come and visit them up at family camp. So it became family reunion opportunity for families to get together and see one another. And I mean, yeah, as far as you could see, there's just stretching families. And it was just really awesome. A few other pictures. At the end of family camp, we had baptisms. And you've heard me say, nowhere in the Bible does it say it's a pastor that has to baptize somebody. Any Christian can baptize somebody else. So the beauty of what we had here at family camp is you're seeing dads baptizing their children there in the pool. It's, you know, a memorable event that you just don't forget. I think we have a couple other pictures as well. Yeah, so more praying, and I think that was a father right there praying for his daughter. What else do we have going on here? That's it? Okay, so we can go to our cover screen there. And there's a few videos that played and other stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Why am I bringing that up? Well, because a month ago, something started to get stirred in my heart as your pastor. And I thought, Lord, what is this? What is it that you're telling me? Like, what's the deal with this? Because you think about it, like the high school kids in here, you're going to blink and they're going to be not just in college, but married with kids. Blink. Like, that wasn't that long ago. And I just blinked and now I'm looking at some kids that I taught as kids. Some of which, I think the very first video, Don, there's kids holding up signs. Do you have that one there? You don't have to play the sound for it, but just the video of it. And I look at that list. When I look at these videos, not that one, this right here is a youth worship team made up of junior high and high school students leading worship for kids' church at family camp. We had high school kids with an adult here or there in charge of our nursery. Wait, high schoolers in the nursery? Yes. Few adults there, but then you start to see high schoolers, they're like, what do I do with this thing right here? And then by the end of the week, you see them holding these kids and playing with them. And then when it was free time and families had free time, they were hanging out with the little babies. Because that's what God does naturally with families, is he builds attachments. That's what he does. So regardless of what the world says about how it doesn't work or these ages don't work together, that's baloney. And so, yeah, this one here, like, I just looked down this list and I'm like, yep, each one of these folks, as you go down here, I look and I go, story. They're now 18, 17, 20, 19, over and over and over and over again. So when I come to looking at youth ministry or kids ministries or the church, I need you to understand that there's a whole perspective that I have. This one here, this is a family. Dad, daughter, uncle, sister, and then just a random white guy in the middle there too. That's Mike. Mike's awesome guy. And so this family, and then a cousin, this family right here did the skit, and it was the skit of the unrepentant servant, the one who the king forgave him of the sum that you couldn't even amount, and then that guy was not willing to forgive his servant who owed him a small amount. So we would give him a skit. Then we had families up there where we're like, hey, we need a worship team. We'll do the songs, but we need, and like, this is entire families, grandparents, dads, moms, brothers, sisters, cousins, little kids, big kids, the whole thing. So when I come to the perspective of what church looks like, I have a view of what I believe church looks like. This is not the only way that church can look, but I have a perspective that I don't think everybody has or has even seen happen. And it really affects the way that I look at the church. I'm not the pastor of the adults here at Telios Christian Fellowship. Aren't you the pastor of the adults? Well, I am, but I'm not only the pastor of the adults here at Telios Christian Fellowship. I'm also the pastor of the kids. Which kids? All the way from the babies, all the way up. That is the perspective I have. It's not the idea of, well, whatever happens in here, this is actually the real main deal. Really, whatever happens outside of that door, as long as they just keep those kids quiet and just can keep them from bothering us and what we're doing here, because this is the really important stuff that we got going on here. That stuff, that's just kids ministry. I think that's a foolish and short-sighted perspective to have. And I don't share that perspective. Tonight, as I was thinking about Worldviews is Over, and that was a great study. I shared about my family 2 weeks ago. Last week we were out at the park, and that was a great time. As the weeks are going and one series ends, I think about what the next series is going to be. The Lord had, for a while there, I'm like, "What? I'm not getting anything. Like, what am I going to teach on Wednesdays? What's the next thing you want, Lord?" And then Joel came to mind, and I want you to know this. Starting next week, we will start a study on Wednesday through the minor prophet of Joel. It's three chapters. It's only going to take 3 weeks. So that means before the last three Wednesdays of this month, we will be doing Joel, and we'll be done with that. What are we going to do after Joel? That's where this black hole came in my mind. I'm going, I don't see anything, Lord. I mean, I've got a whole Bible full of stuff. But it was God the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, going, there's something different that I have in mind. That's why you're not getting anything on Wednesday nights for right now. As I've been teaching here, just so you know the truth of where my heart's been, as I've been teaching on Wednesdays, I have this other thing that goes on in my heart. Here's the things that concern me. What's going on with our youth? I can't separate that. Like, I can't teach you here and not in my mind have this other thought of, I hope they're doing good. I hope that they understand how real the Lord is. I hope that they can take him in a way that they can apply him to their life in high school. The kids, I think and I pray about them often. Because I have four kids up there, yeah, that's a big deal. But I've thought about kids for a while. Like, that's no new thing for me. And so I can't separate. The church is not adults and then it's kids. No, it's the church. The church is a family. So then, as a pastor, I look at the church and I say, how is the family doing? And God just had me go, Jim, take a look at the church and see how the family's doing. In certain areas of our church, we're doing really well. And in other areas, we are lacking. And that's part of what I want to share with you tonight. Just share some prayer requests with you. And I know that the Lord's going to take care of it. But let's take a look here. You got your Bibles open in 1 Corinthians 12. I just want to read just a section here. It ties in with those videos. It ties in with what I'm saying to you. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. we mentioned in the last few weeks, that was one of the things that people had against Christianity. They'll take anybody. They'll take anybody. Anybody can come and be a Christian. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, gross, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, equally gross, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Yeah. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require, because they're out in the open. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may be of the same care, may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Lord, I just do thank you for your word, and I just do pray as I speak. God, I just ask that you would guide my words. Lord, you've been putting things on my heart, and you've been stirring things up. I just pray that it would be said in a way that makes sense. And Lord, you're the one that does that. So, Holy Spirit, please empower me and speak, I pray, in your name. Amen. Amen. So, this is a historic month for our church. 3 years ago, I was looking through some notes, and I've got them all digital. I type them all up, and so I'm able to scroll back. And I went back, and there was a state of the church that I gave on September 18th, 2011. So almost 3 years ago, coming right up on this three-year anniversary. At this historic state of the church message that I gave on that Sunday, I mentioned, hey, listen, God's brought this church through a lot. We as a family had been here 9 months or so, started in January and got there. It was in that state of the church meeting that I said, by the way, this church is no longer called Calvary Chapel of Arcata. We have a whole new logo. It's a number 7. It shows that we're complete in Christ and incomplete when we don't have Christ here. We're called the Teleos Christian Fellowship, going along with that concept of being complete in Christ. Now, at this point, the word rolls off your mouth probably a little easier than it did back then, especially if you were there back then. I got to tell you, when that was done, and I knew that was going to be a landmark message that was given at this church. And as I said it, I was like, well, Lord, and you could see some folks were like, hey, okay, cool. I mean, as long as we're still teaching the Bible and we love Jesus and we're moving forward, that's great. And then there were others that were like, nah, I don't know. I don't know. Some of those people are still with us because they've come back on board. Everything's great. And some aren't. So it is with these things. Now, as I look back in hindsight, was that something that the Lord was directing us to do? And was that the direction we should have gone? Yeah, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. 3 years back, I look back and it's just one of those things. Who are you? Oh, yeah, we're Teleos Christian Fellowship. That's who we are. People know us as the Teleos Christian Fellowship. And they ask the question, what's that 7 mean again? What does that logo mean again? I was looking at the notes from that state of the church, and here's some things I wrote. I wrote about how our college ministries are doing well, and we've got other things that are going well, but then there's these notes, and I am copying and pasting these from notes 3 years ago and putting them in my notes tonight, because I want you to read something that was important 3 years ago. Kids, our next big step is having the needs of the children of our church met. And then I wrote down a hypothetical, not a hypothetical question, a question that people were asking me back then. Because people were coming with me with great ministry ideas. Hey, Jim, we should have this ministry, that ministry. So I wrote down, hey, Jim, what about XYZ ministry or thing that would be cool for the church? And I wrote down, I just want you to know what my answer will be. My answer will be, you know what, that sounds great, but what about our kids? And I looked at those words, and the meaning of those words hasn't changed for me today. As I'm here 3 years later, I look at that and I go, we still aren't there with that. And as a body, we can't look at any ministry here and go, that's less important. I mean, they're out of sight, out of mind, right? I mean, sometimes you hear them on a Sunday, and you're like, oh, cool, we hear them cheering, so they must be doing well. That might be them just revolting and rebelling against the three leaders that are up there and tying them up. We just don't know. But we get warm smiles, and we're like, oh, our kid's up there, you know. The truth is the leaders are doing a great job up there. There's just too few of them. And so then I kind of scratched my head, and I, you know, over the years, it would come and it would go. Maybe it's just, you know, we're a smaller church. I mean, that's the thing. We're a smaller church. Well, wait, smaller compared to what are we talking about here? Because when I was in Manhattan this summer, we went to a church where they set up temporarily for 30-plus years on the third story of a building. Calvary Chapel of Manhattan. Right? Manhattan. Millions of people. It's going to be a huge church, right? No. Church is less than half the size of our church. For 30-plus years, they've been setting up temporarily on the third floor with their kids' ministry and coffee shop on the fourth floor. And I walked in there with Don and our kids, and we looked around and we thought, God, you have blessed our little church in Arcata, above and beyond. If you've come from Southern California, let me just tell you, the mega church thing, that's actually an anomaly. That is an anomaly, meaning it's not the norm of what you will see. Average church size in America is around 125 people, average church size. We're well at that point and growing. Who would have thought? This little church in Arcata. So then all these excuses of, well, you know, there aren't that many people that come, and that's the reason why we're short, and this and that. And I realized this. I remembered something from when I was in youth ministry. I was a junior high leader for 6 years. Don was a leader for 8 years in junior high ministry. And then I was asked to be the kids pastor for 3 years. I'd been a college pastor for a few years as well. So youth ministries, I didn't do high school ministry. That's kind of the gap in the ministries that I'd done, but before and after high school ministry and even kids. And my joke was, as I was going, I kept ministering to younger and younger kids. When I was the children's pastor, I was the pastor over the ministry of nursery through fifth, which looked something like 200 to 300 kids spread out over multiple campuses. So kids have a huge part in my... So wait, Jim, you're awesome with kids. Well, here's the joke about all of it, is that I wasn't married at the time that I was a children's pastor, so I didn't have any kids. God uses the foolish things of the world. He uses the things that... So they can't take credit for themselves. Be like, oh, kids ministry is because I was such an expert. No way. It's because of God. So here we are at our church. Maybe the problem is we don't have enough people here. No. What I noticed back then in kids ministry, in junior high ministry, is when there's an issue with the child, those ones you can pretty much deal with. Those aren't difficult things to deal with. You actually learn that the real issue is with, here, you ready for it? The adults. If there's an issue with kids ministry, let me just tell you, the issue isn't with the kids. Right? Haha. Oh, it's the kids' fault. No. So hey, let's take a look at where the responsibility really lies. It's on the adults. If a church does not have a healthy children's ministry, it's not the children's fault. Are we expecting them to teach themselves? No, I'm not. It is our responsibility that God has given to us as adults. Don, I got a couple of verses. Would you mind writing them down? Deuteronomy 4:9. You guys know this one, Proverbs 22:6. You don't have to put this one up, Don, but you can put Deuteronomy 4:9 up when you get it. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, the word is in their life. The word will continue to speak to them in their life. It's important for us to get the word into the kid's life. Kids, all ages. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your... Well, I'm done. I'm a grandparent now. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The things that God has done in your life. The things that, wow, that was a big mistake I made in my life. And that cost me a lot in my life. Well, guess what? It's your responsibility to warn future generations, even of the things that you failed in, so that they might not go down the same path. Is that a suggestion? No, that's an instruction. There's another verse in Deuteronomy that speaks of that as well. The importance of us, the instruction of God for us to be instructing our kids. I have heard this. I was talking to Sherry Searcy this afternoon, and we were talking about kids ministry because some of these things that I'm talking with you about affect the kids ministry here, who she's in charge of. She does a great job, and she's faithful at it. She wrote down a couple things, and if you've talked to Sherry for any amount of time, she will say this, that our children's ministry is not a babysitting ministry. Because it is not a babysitting ministry. We are not called by God to babysit. We are called by God to instruct, to teach, to speak into the lives of. We have been given that commission by God to go do it. The instruction to go do it. Sherry mentioned this, and she said this to me, that we have to be the hands and the feet of the church to these children. Even if we don't have kids in the ministry. To which I said, absolutely, amen. For years and years, I served kids where I didn't have a child in junior high ministry. Don didn't have it. We didn't have kids. We weren't even married at the time. And we were serving somebody else's kids. And we loved it. And then we were serving other people's fifth graders, fourth graders, third graders, nursery, children in the nursery. And we loved it. And then we had our own kids. There's something in our church that is wrong that needs to be changed. And it is an attitude of the heart that has to change. Because we've tried everything else. I look at this and some changes that need to happen, Jim. I mean, could this be a bit rash or a bit quick? No, because this is 3 years coming now. 3 years of, okay, Lord, let's just keep working on it. Maybe we need more helpers in there. Put out signups for helpers. You've seen what they look like, right? Right? Hey, guys, let's sign up. Have you noticed that some of those announcements get repeated? Do you realize that this pastor gets tired of making repeated announcements over and over again? I do. Because I look at that and I go, man, if I was not teaching up here, I would in a heartbeat serve wherever the need was in this church. And I mean that. And I just go, why is it that people aren't? And the Lord is just like, it's an issue of the heart, Jim. It's not a knowledge issue. It's not the church is too small issue. It's an issue of the heart. That is the bottom line of what it is. God wants to unify us and get us going in one direction on things. So let me look at all the ministries here at our church. We could look at Sunday morning, and here's the illusion. You look at Sunday morning and you go, dude, do you believe how many people are coming to our church? It's awesome. You see the new college students, they're all sitting there. And I'm getting emails from college students that are saying, hey, will you pray for me? And I'm brand new. I'd like to meet with you. Can we catch up? I've got lunch meetings with college students this week, and it's great. And you can look at that and go, that's awesome. Our church is doing wonderful. But as a pastor, God goes, Jim, step back and look at the church, the entire thing. And you can look at an area that's doing great and get a false sense of where the entire church is at. Sunday morning, let me say, things are going well. The Lord has given you a pastor that's capable to teach the word. Great. So Sunday morning's working. That's awesome. Worship? Man, the Lord is totally blessing worship. He's totally blessing worship here at our church. He's raising up people, and he's doing awesome things, and I think that's great. So, okay, teaching's doing well, worship is doing well. College ministry, John and Betty have been faithful in the college ministry for years and years and years and years and years and years. It's doing great. Senior Saints, they're meeting Tuesday. We got Senior Saints meeting on Tuesday. We have a care home ministry, which we need more people to serve in that ministry for sure. That's a change. I need a change of heart in people there for that as well. But as far as Tuesday mornings go, loving the folks here. So I'm looking at areas where I go, good, 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 good. And then I see an area and I go, subpar. What is that? Kids ministry, youth ministry. Not where it should be. Not where it should be. And so then at that point, hey, Pastor Jim, so about this other great idea, or this thing we should do as a church, or this thing, let me just tell you. There's an anchor that's holding me down going, Jim, there's some things that have to be taken care of before this church can move forward. In fact, your church will move forward. This church will not move any further forward unless we address a few things. And that's the truth of the matter. How can we expect God to bless our church and keep bringing folks to our church if we don't even minister to the body, the entire body? We have to be the servant of all. So one game plan, one mindset, one thing going forward. Sunday morning, this last Sunday, it felt like I was churning through the mud on Sunday. Well, Jim, it was a good passage of scripture. It's like John 14, a Holy Spirit. I go, yeah. And you know who I was praying to for help the whole time? The Holy Spirit. Because I was up here, and have you noticed how distracting our Sunday mornings could be? Nobody? Has it been told? Let me just say, like, God supernaturally lets me not see some distractions, because if he did, I wouldn't be able to keep a thought straight. Because you're looking at me. Imagine if I'm looking at, imagine my perspective. I could potentially see everything distracting. If I see somebody get up and kind of walk out during a service, I have to intentionally not look at them. Otherwise, everybody will look at them. And that's not what I want. So all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that, okay. You'll, if you notice, that's what I'm doing. Sunday morning was just out of control. We had kids getting up, getting down, kids at the back door, going outside, getting coffee, coming back. First of all, kids and coffee. What? Anyway. So, and I'm looking at it going, there's something that's broken that needs to be fixed. Well, the issue is the kids. No, the issue isn't the kids. You know where I'm going to go with this, don't you? Yes. The issue are the adults, specifically the parents. But even the church, we got word back this week of a visitor who came, was sitting back there, first time visitor, and was worshiping the Lord and was listening to the study, and he had to, on two occasions, tell kids to shush and be quiet so that he could hear the study. Let me tell you, is there something wrong with that? Yes. Something is completely wrong with that. That cannot continue. So who can do that? Guys, if I stop teaching on a Sunday morning and make a corrective statement from up here, do you know how bad, do you understand like the effect that that will have on the church? Everybody will be like, wow, dude, pastor's mad at somebody. And you know what happens? They're not listening to the words of God that could help them with the problems that they came in the church with. So what does that mean? That means the body ministers to the body. You see somebody that's being disrespectful or yapping or talking, you talk to them. Who? Wait, when you said you, Jim, do you mean like you like somebody else? No, I mean you like you. You. In kindness and gentleness, and if your dad or grandpa with that stern, firm look, hey, stop. Not messing around. Stop. It takes the entire church family to do that. So Sunday, yeah, I was blessed by all the new folks here, but there were lots of warning signs that started to go up for me on Sunday. So there's something that we need to do that's different. I cannot continue saying, hey, let's teach Sunday mornings. And you know, Wednesday night, I enjoyed the worldview study. I thought it was fun. I thought it was great. I got feedback that, hey, the worldview study is awesome. I'm so blessed that we have a midweek service here at the church for adults. You know, I am too, but here's the problem. If there's an area of our church that's deficient and that needs help, that we need to support and build up, then guess what the body does? The body sacrifices in certain areas so that it can lift up other areas. That's what a family does. Oh, I'm sorry. What happened? Well, my bed broke and like it's all sitting cockeyed in my room. Well, I guess you're just going to have to figure out how to build and fix your bed. Here you go, son. I know you're only four, but here's some nails and a hammer. Have fun. But yet that's what we tend to do as a church. Ah, oh, yeah, that's broken. But you know what? Here, you go ahead and just make sure that's fixed. No, you know what happens? The entire family gets together and makes sacrifices. You know what? You two are sharing a bed. You're going to do this thing. While they're sharing a bed tomorrow, it's your job to go, older brother, to go get this bed fixed and taken care of. And I'll go get the parts from the store and we'll get it all done. And then by tomorrow evening, the bed will be done. Our family member who is in need will be taken care of. And then we can continue to go forward. That is a very simple example, but that's how I look at what's going on right now. There's some broken things up in our children's ministry. It's not the people that are serving. It's not the children. It's the heart of adults in our church. And I'm saying this not to be like, it's all your fault. No, that's not it. I just have to be honest and let you know. As a pastor, I can't sit here and teach another Wednesday study without knowing that God, that we're taking care of as a family, the other areas of our church that need help to be done. So where am I going with all of this? Okay. Wednesday night, there's a change that has to happen. That change needs to happen immediately. It's not something that we can continue to move forward and go, well, we'll just pretend it doesn't exist. 3 years going here. 3 year anniversary of me saying something that was on my heart that still hasn't happened yet, that the Lord put there. Our Wednesday evening time for parents, if you notice it gets darker earlier, our Wednesday evening time is moving back 30 minutes to 6. Why? You start at 6, you end at 7:30, families get home and they're home at 8. That way they can get their kids home. And from the excitement of church, they can calm down, settle down, and all of those things. So that change starts next week. So next Wednesday, service time is at 6 o'clock. So 6 o'clock, September 10th, 17th, 24th. That's a 6 o'clock start for the next three Wednesdays. Those are the three Wednesdays that we're doing Joel. Joel chapter 1, 2, and 3. So 6 o'clock is almost started. I'm going to make a huge announcement on Sunday morning. But I'm telling you first because it's going to affect you the most. That's why I'm letting you know right now. But there's an even bigger change that's happening starting in October. 6 o'clock? Yes, still 6 o'clock. But our midweek service day is moving from Wednesday to Thursday. Here's why. We do adult teaching on Sunday mornings, and in the midweek, we are focusing in on our kids. Our facilities can't handle full-blown high school, junior high, all kids ministries at the same time. Our building is not big enough. So we can't do it. But even more important than our building not being big enough, we don't have enough servants to serve all these people. So we don't have enough servants to serve all of the people in our church, the entire church body. Well, that means that there's a change that must happen. So what happens then in October is Thursdays become our youth ministry night. What do you mean by youth? I mean nursery all the way through high school. And here's what they get. They get the entire campus. The entire campus is theirs. They get the sanctuary. They can do worship up here. They can use the classrooms. The ability for them to grow suddenly expands. Right now, we're not built for our youth ministry to expand or grow or even thrive. It's not designed that way right now. And that has to change. So as I say this, wait, what does that mean for us as adults? Here's what it means for us as adults. It's an opportunity for you to be able to serve in some capacity. Because at this point where we currently are, we don't have enough people to serve the kids. So Jim, what does that look like? What does it look like? You know what the honest answer is? I don't fully know. And if that worries you, just understand that I felt that same way September 18th, 2011. Here's the new name of the church. Here's the new logo. Here's what we're doing going forward. And people would ask me back then, well, Jim, what does that mean? What does the Telios Christian Fellowship mean? Is it even going to work? You know what? The Lord directed me to go in this direction. I believe that it is going to work. You want all the details? I don't have them. It's a step of faith. It's a faith walk that we have to do as a family together. And we have to walk this thing together. How awesome would it be for us to be known as a church who takes enough time that we've sacrificed one of our adult services. Sacrificed. That's a good word. Sacrificed one of our adult services so that we could put our resources towards serving the kids and the youth in our church. And not even that, the kids and the youth in our entire community. Thursday becomes that night. It's also moved to Thursday because then when you bring your kids home on Thursday night at 7:30 after everything's all said and done, and we leave here, there's only one more school night before the weekend. Right now, kids get all stirred up and it kind of throws off their schedules for the rest of the week. So there's some reasons as to why. There's some very practical reasons. Right now, we start too late. And it's right in the middle of the week. In very practical ways, it's not designed to minister to youth. It's not designed to minister to families with young children. That has to change as well. So these are some areas that we're going forward and going to begin, starting even next week. Now that's a lot. We doing okay? Is everybody all right in here? And I want you to know, Jim, have you seen anything like this before? Oh yeah. Yeah, I've seen something like this before. It works. When families minister, when people get out of their comfort zones and do what the Lord's called them to do, yeah. Then statements like, well, I don't know if I feel called to that. Well, let's read some verses then, shall we, and see what we're called to do. Let's see what we're supposed to do before the Lord. The way we get better at things is by doing things. So I don't know where that leaves you. I don't actually expect you to have a huge response right now. But I do expect you to be praying about it. I do expect you to be praying about that. I did feel bad, you know, because I know that there are a few folks that were like, man, I'm so pumped because this is the church that has a midweek service, you know, and I go, yeah, that's awesome. But that's not the most important thing we got going on right now. Something else in my conversation with Sherry this afternoon is she said, and I agreed with her. She goes, you may get adults that are asking, well, wait, what do I get out of this? That's not the way that we serve. We don't serve looking to see what we will get out of it. We will be blessed, and God does bless those that serve Him, for sure. But that's not the motivation of why we serve God. We serve because He first served us. We serve because Jesus was the servant of all. We teach kids, we love children because Jesus washed feet. He set the example of what a servant should be. And so we as followers of his have to model that. Oh, here's the other thing. How can I tell you guys to go do that if I don't do that first, right? It's a thing. If you're going to lead, you have to lead from the front. If you're going to lead, then you have to do it. So I told Sherry, I go, hey, listen, you want somebody that's got a decade of kids ministry experience? You got them. You tell me what you want me to do. I can do worship. I can do teaching. I found out we have puppets at our church. Heather has puppets. I'm like, oh, I could do puppets. I don't know if it was on those videos there, but oh yeah, we could do puppets. Absolutely, we could do puppets. Skits? Let's do skits. I don't have the banana costume still. What's that? I don't have that costume, but we have some gifted people here that can come up with some pretty interesting stuff. The way that this will succeed is if the whole weight of the church is behind it. Not just a few people, not just a handful of super dedicated and burning out folks, but the entire church. That's the only way. And I do have this question that I've wondered when I didn't have kids and when I was ministering to children is, why in the world aren't parents serving their kids? I could never figure that out. I could never figure that. I would love to serve my kids in kids ministry. Well, Jim, don't you want a break for them? Sure, I'm sure my wife would want more of a break with them because she's around with them more. I guess I could understand that concept. But at the end of the day, who wouldn't want to serve their kids? Who wouldn't want to teach their kids? Unfortunately, in the church today, there is this weird, and let me say, ungodly perspective of, yeah, well, somebody else will teach my kids. No, that's not how that's supposed to work. So I just want you to know, in all of these things that I've said, I'm the first one that's walking in. I'm the first one that's going to be like, hey, you want me to teach? Sure, I'll teach this. I'll do a puppet thing. You bet. I'll do worship off key and super enthusiastic because they're going to follow my enthusiasm. If I'm like, hey, kids, this is great. You should love this. I don't know. It's just not working. It's like they're not into it. It's like you're not into it. It's like you're not into it. So what we're praying is for God to do a dramatic change here. One other request. Could this pastor make one more request? Here's another request. Parents, have your kids sit with you. We live in a society where it's isolated and it's like, well, you got to kind of find out your own way and do your own thing. There is something absolutely powerful about a family who sits together at church. It also eliminates some really crazy distractions for this pastor. Remember, I was the kid that bailed out of church whenever I could when I was young. I know how all of those things work. I'm going to sit all the way in the back. Oh, wow, super creative. Never heard that one before. Oh, I'm going to tell my parents I'm going to use the restroom but not go up to kids ministry, and then I'm going to run out. Oh, wow, let me applaud you for being, you're the first one to ever come up with that. No. Let's be wise, parents, adults. Let's be wise. You see kids standing around? Tell them to come into church. Well, they're not my kids. Lord, give us stronger and straighter spines. Yes, I just said that. Give us strength to speak with what you have told us to speak. I don't know how they'll feel about me. Better question. What does God think about what you're doing? That's a better question. We need to do what the Lord has called us to do. And I just had to tell you as your pastor, I couldn't start another Wednesday study and just be like, hey, well, let's, Joel's a great book, so let's just do that while there's a heaviness in my heart as I teach. So let's pray. And as we pray, Jesus did serve us. Jesus did do something great in each one of our hearts, and he died for each of us. And we're going to remember that tonight. So as we close, I think it's appropriate for us to close in communion. So ushers, if you wouldn't mind handing out the communion elements even now. And let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. We don't even need music at this point. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. The words that were spoken weren't, they're fairly direct. I understand. But there's truth there. That we're called to be the body of Christ. Man, you can hand out both elements. As the elements are being handed out, I'm going to read that section again of 1 Corinthians. As you're holding the bread, as you're holding the cup, just hold them. We'll take them together. But just hear these words as you're receiving and holding the elements. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would all be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker, Lord, I can only think about the kids, are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which is more presentable, which the more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. God, I just thank you so much for the body that you've put together here. I thank you for every person that you've brought. Different gifts and talents. Each person unique, each person a special part. Lord, you've heard my words, and I just do pray, supernaturally, Holy Spirit, if I said something out of turn, or if I said something that just isn't appropriate, I pray that you would just cause us to not even remember it. But Lord, if there was things that were said that were of you and absolutely truthful, then I pray that we would never forget it. Father, I pray that you would give us servants' hearts to serve where it's needed, not where we want. Where the need is greatest, not where the need is most convenient. Thank you. As we hold these communion elements, God, I can only think about the great sacrifice that your Son did for us on the cross. His body laid out for us, his blood spilled. God, thank you that you set the example for us to follow. You show us what true sacrifice is. You show us what it is when you say to lay down our life. You didn't just say it, you meant it. Lord, work that within us. God, work that deep within inside of us. Holy Spirit, we cannot minister to the youth and the kids of our church in our own strength. We don't have that strength. But you do. Holy Spirit, we ask for an outflowing, a pouring upon of your power on this church. On each member of this church, that they would see their unique gifts and talents, see the spot that you've called them to fill, and Lord, that they would fill it not begrudgingly, but enthusiastically. God, we need a heart transplant in certain areas of our life. And Lord, for my church, I just pray, the church that you have brought me to, your church, Lord, I pray that you would give each of us the heart transplant we need when it comes to this specific area. God, you've given us a community that is full of youth. High school students across the street. Kids that come every day. College students that want to know more about you. Lord, we want to serve the people that you have put before us. Lord, equip us. Empower us to serve them. Jesus, when you were there, you told your disciples that as they look at this bread, that they would remember your body that would be given for them. We thank you, Jesus, for your body sacrificially given for each one of us. We thank you that you laid down your life so that we could see what that's like. Lord, that we too would lay down our lives. Jesus, we thank you for laying down your life for us. We thank you for your body, and your church now remembers, takes, and eat. Let's share the body together. And as we hold the cup, and as we continue thinking about the youth, Lord, sometimes they frustrate us, and sometimes they can just be exasperating. But Lord, as we look at this cup, and we remember what this cup represents, your forgiveness of all our sins, oh, what sinners we were when we were younger. Oh, what sinners we were. Lord, I pray that none of us would ever get to a point where we look at somebody who's youthful and we get discouraged by what they're doing and forget who we used to be, who you rescued us from, how you matured us, how you caused us to grow. Lord, if you never forgave us of our sins, if your blood was never shed on a cross, we would never even have that opportunity to grow and mature in you. As we hold this cup, it's very special because we see in it the forgiveness of all of our sins, even the sins of our youth. And in this room, collectively, we've got plenty of sins from our youth. Jesus, I thank you. You separated them as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for your blood. And thank you that we are blood-washed Christians, washed white as snow. No guilt, no shame, forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Church, let's take and remember Jesus' blood for us. I wrote down something here at the very end. The church that we will be tomorrow is shaped by what we do today. There are churches in our community that are dying or dead. They didn't get there overnight. And God was not silent in warning and giving correction to his church. He knows how to correct and guide his church. What it means is at some point in time, people heard the correction and said, well, I don't want to do that. And continue to go down the path because everything seemed all right for now. We don't want to be that church. I want to see in 5 years, I want to see kids that are in junior high ministry actively serving, the ones who don't move out of our community. I want to see them actively serving in our church. I'm going to be excited for the moment where we see kids currently now and at 4 or 5 years who are up here and serving in the worship team. Now, granted, you look up here and you've got ones that are already up here serving. You look at Abby and you look at others, where you just go, Lord, you're already answering that prayer. I also want you to understand this. There can be the statement of, well, you know, just you're pretty much guaranteed that when kids get older, there's going to be this rebellion. Let me tell you this. In that picture of all those kids and the kids ministry and all that stuff, did they ever rebel? Oh, sure, they rebelled. But let me tell you that there's a hope in Christ. And not every child has this crazy, ridiculous rebellion. I just want you to have that hope. Because if we think about it, then we're just like, oh, then I'm like, wow, I got 4 depressing stories just waiting to happen. In 8 years, it'll be my daughter, Jaya. In 9 years, it'll be Xander. Let me tell you, is that Christ? Is that how Christ looks at it? No. Is that how then we as followers should look at it? No. We got to ask God to change our hearts. The church that we will be in the future is the decisions that we make today. Let us be a church where we look around in a few years and we're all praising the Lord, remembering this day in September when we were praying for God to do this. And we look around and go, check it out. Who's serving in kids ministry? Oh, he used to be in kids ministry. He used to be in kids ministry like 6, 7 years ago. I used to teach him and now he's teaching. Yes. Who's on the worship team? Oh, yeah. That used to be, I used to have him in 3rd grade. Yeah, he was that 3rd grader that just had so much energy and was crazy. Well, it makes sense. He's a drummer now, so that totally makes sense. Oh, look at our ushers. Hey, look at the ones going to the care home. We've got this group of college students who just has this passionate heart to go serve people in the care home. Church, how does that happen? Not like this. It happens over time as God ministers to each one of us. So let's be God's hands and feet. Let's minister to the youth of our community, to our church. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you guys. That's all I got. I'm done.